I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
The following program is a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcast Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com to learn more about this and our other weekly storytelling programs and become a patron today to show your support and get instant access to our extensive archive of downloadable tales of terror. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Disclaimer. Horror Hill is a horror anthology podcast bringing you scary stories from all corners of the internet and beyond. As such, certain stories include content that some listeners might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to Horror Hill. I'm your host and narrator, Eric Peabody. Tonight, I've got one hell of a tale for you, friends, straight from author Jason Fisher. The story is titled Involuntary Dependent. Melissa and Kim are a happy couple living a normal life when things are upended by the sudden death of Kim's estranged mother. Now, her younger brother Joshua has come to live with them. To say that Joshua has some unhealthy and strange habits would be an understatement, and his sudden arrival disrupts Mel and Kim's normal routine. Melissa tries to be understanding, but that's a little hard to do with the cloth masks that Joshua wears and the punishment dolls that he insists on flagellating. Mel hopes that time will smooth things over, but little does she know that this is just the beginning of a deepening nightmare. Also, before we get started, I wanted to thank a specific member of the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights team, Jeff Sturtevant. Jeff is a writer and narrator that you might have heard on other shows on this network, and has been helping out with story selection for Horror Hill recently. Jeff, from the bottom of my black heart, thanks for everything. You're listening to the free edition of this program. If you'd like to help support Horror Hill and also remove these pesky ads, head to chillingtalesfordarknights.com and click Patrons in the upper menu to sign up today. You'll get instant access to hundreds of ad-free stories, so what are you waiting for? Also, if you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor and drop a like and subscribe. Become part of our dark circle, listeners. And now, from author Jason Fisher, I give you Involuntary Dependent. They watched the preteen pull the cloth sack over his head. It was wrinkled, dirty, and had a jagged streak of lipstick where the mouth should have been. There were two tiny holes for the nose and shiny black buttons sewn for eyes just below the synthetic curly hair. Under the plastic buttons were small, uneven holes that Joshua could see through. Melissa stared in disbelief at their unexpected houseguest and then at her partner. Kim looked at her pleadingly in response, begging for silence. It was the look reserved for polite conversation at a dinner party, not to conceal her disdain over her brother's actions. His eyes were filled with hate as he disrobed the doll that he held over his knee, the doll he had referred to as his punishment self. With practiced strokes, he relentlessly beat the backside of the doll, each strike resulting in a resounding thump that filled the tiny spare room of the condo. Both women cringed as if the blows had landed on them rather than the lifeless toy. Muffled words came through the sack.
"I told you! I told you! I told you, be good or you will get your punishment, stupid!"
His words sounded like they'd come from another room, like a ventriloquist's trick. In a voice that was so calm it scared Melissa, Kim said, "Okay, Joshua, that's enough now." He looked up and cocked his head far enough back to see through the tiny space the stretched material would allow.
"It ain't neither, and don't call me that name. Not when I'm like this."
He flipped his head back in an exaggerated gesture, causing the wig to bounce back playfully.
"Please do as I say. That's enough."
Her voice rose, yet she didn't sound as if she were scolding him. The words were more like polite requests than demands. Reluctantly, he pulled the mask from his head, causing his unwashed hair to hang across his red, blotchy face. He carefully folded the mask and put it next to him on the futon that would be his bed for the foreseeable future. Then, with delicate care, he lifted the doll's pants, covering its exposed behind. When the clothing was back in place, he lifted the smiling toy and hugged it, leaving its limbs to dangle freely as he softly hummed a nursery rhyme to it. Melissa's heart was racing as she stared at the black and white doll. It was nearly 3 feet tall and looked like a leftover prize from a carnival. The painted canvas material was matted in spots, as if it were filled with tufts of worn cotton.
"Thank you, Joshua," Kim whispered.
He ignored her, turning slightly away from the two women. He hugged his doll tighter in his arms, squeezing his eyes shut and humming louder.
"I'm going to go to the other room for a few minutes and talk about some adult things with Mel. I'll be right back."
"You know you aren't supposed to lay with a woman like you've been, don't you?"
Joshua let his doll drop and turned back, staring. Glaring at Melissa, he pulled at a strand of his oily hair, twirling it between his thumb and forefinger. With his free hand, he caressed the mask, making small circles on top of the fabric and tracing the outline of the obscene lips.
"Joshua, don't be rude. You sit quietly and I'll be right back," Kim said, and nodded toward the door.
They exited the small room and headed to the kitchen. Melissa said, as quietly as her nerves would allow,
"What the fuck was that?"
"I know that was disturbing, and I'm sorry I didn't warn you."
Kim looked at the shared wall between the kitchen and the bedroom. Lifting one finger to her lips for quiet, she spoke to the puck-like device on the table.
"Play my relaxing playlist."
In the background, Moonlight Sonata filled the room, adding to the somber mood of the cramped space.
"Disturbing. That was terrifying. What happened to that kid? Why is he doing that, and why are you so calm?"
"It's the way he..."
Kim paused, closing her eyes and squeezing her fists.
"The way we were raised."
"What does that mean?"
Melissa moved toward her, her arms open. Kim quickly raised her hands and said,
"Please don't, not right now. If I start crying, I might not stop."
Melissa took a step back, awkwardly wrapping her arms around herself. In their 4 years together, she could never remember having been rejected quite like that. As she fought to think of her partner's feelings over her own, the music echoed in the small space, seeming to be in sync with her mood.
"I told you before that I had a non-traditional upbringing. My mother had, well, very odd ways to teach us how to deal with our emotions. Believe me, I know how freaked out you must be right now."
Her eyes glazed over with tears as she sniffled deeply, somehow stopping them from streaming out.
"I know I would be if I were you. But you have to understand that my mother was just trying to teach us to cope."
"By beating a creepy-ass doll?"
Melissa's eyes flashed as she waved her hand toward her lover.
It's just a role-playing device. She would have us wear a mother or father mask and then administer punishment to our doll, which represented our negative behaviors. She looked down, suddenly shy. After we got the anger out, she would talk to us and teach us how to react more positively. Melissa had no siblings, aunts, or uncles, only a mother who had passed away while she was young, so she was struggling to understand how such insane behavior could be forgiven. Spending a good portion of your formative years in foster care greatly skewed one's perspectives on what to expect from others. "I'm sorry, I know you've been through a lot, but I have to say it, if you're defending what we just witnessed, I'm speechless, hon." "I'm not defending anything." Kim's hands went to the sides of her head, disappearing into her thick, curly hair. "Too much has happened in the last 24 hours. I don't even know what I'm thinking anymore. I'm ashamed, scared, and don't know what to say to you right now, but even if he is acting strange, that's still my little brother. He just buried his mother, and now he's seeing me for the first time in over 4 years and is trying to cope with all of it." As she trembled all over, her tears finally came in streams. She fought to breathe between gasps of air. Melissa moved to her and gently stroked the back of her head. Kim willingly embraced her and convulsed with sobs. Melissa began questioning the decision to let the boy stay with them. Despite her own apprehension, as Kim quieted down, Melissa whispered, "It's going to be okay. Whatever we have to do, we're going to do because we're strong enough to get through this." Melissa now wished she had insisted that Kim attend the funeral when the call came last week. It was apparent that she needed closure from the life she had left behind. She knew Kim had had a very complicated relationship with her mother. It was understandable being raised in such an isolated, rural area without a father and with a much younger brother to commiserate with. Yet, she had never guessed it was so dark. None of the talks they had had regarding her upbringing had ever hinted at the depravity Melissa had just witnessed in the other room. Wishing she could take all the pain away, she hugged Kim tighter, so tightly she barely heard her squeak out, "I'm sorry." "There's nothing to be sorry for," Melissa said, caressing the back of Kim's head and patting down her curls. With her eyes closed, she tried to pretend none of this was happening, that they were just having an ordinary day filled with the peace they had worked so hard to carve out from their place. Kim's warm breath on her chest encouraged her to lie. "Everything's going to be all right." Melissa sincerely wished she could believe her own words, but she knew nothing would ever be remotely the same. She had lived through transitions like this before and knew better than to fool herself. This much change couldn't come without consequences. Hiding the apprehension in her voice, she said, "What can I do?" "I wish I knew." Even with the loud background music, rhythmic grunting echoed through the wall. Glancing up, she said, "Do you hear that?" "Yes." They headed back to the room where they had left Joshua. When they opened the door, he was wearing his father mask and was spanking a girl doll. Its hair color and style were identical to Kim's. "Joshua, you stop that this instant." "I ain't Joshua no more." He kept at the beating. Each strike ended in a dull thump against the worn fabric. "If you don't take off that mask right now, I will kick you out." "No, you won't neither." In defiance, he stared through the eye holes in the mask and whipped his doll faster. Each brutal stroke was louder than the last. Kim moved quickly to the bed and ripped the doll from his lap. She held it dangling between her thumb and forefinger as if it were a sittick, examining its distorted, handmade features from as far away as her arm would allow. Finally, she tossed it into the hallway, the unsightly fabric twirling in the air. Before she could grab hold of the mask, Joshua quickly removed it and hid it up his shirt. He leaned forward protectively, giving him the appearance of being pregnant. In his thick, southern accent, he said, "I'm trying to help you, sister. You need to be cleansed of your wrongdoings." "Joshua, I will not have this behavior in my house." He rubbed the mask through the shirt. "But we gotta fix this, Kimmy. Real quick, too, before she... well, you know." "Joshua, You'll be staying here for some time until we figure out what's best. You need to understand that things are different here, and it's not like it was back home.
I wish I was still at home with Ma.
I know, but that isn't possible. She sat down next to her younger sibling. Tentatively, he put his hand over hers, and they sat wordlessly, looking into his open knapsack and staring at the other doll's tattered appendages hanging out over the top.
You know that ain't true. She's still with us.
The young boy's voice quivered as he spoke.
She always will be, like the book promised.
Kim nodded in quiet agreement. Everything will be right, in time. Melissa stood, trying not to stare at the mask peeping out from under the boy's shirt. For the first time in their 4-year relationship, she stared at her partner and saw a stranger. Repulsed, her mind filled with all the relationships she had endured before meeting the woman she knew she was meant to be with. Nothing had come between them before, not even their 10-year age gap. But this felt different. As she walked out of the room, she heard them humming a hymn she had recognized from her childhood days in the choir. The sound did little to quiet her already frantic mind.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The next morning, after showering, Melissa opened the door to the spare room. Lying next to Joshua, Kim looked much younger than her 24 years. The light from the hallway woke her. She extracted herself from the futon, and they walked into the kitchen. Melissa slid a mug with the inscription, "Have a great day," beneath a smiley face that hovered over Niagara Falls across the table. The ridiculously cheap cup was a joke souvenir from their first vacation together. They had driven in Melissa's beat-up car from New Bremen, Illinois, to New York a few weeks after they started dating. Looking at the rushing water was when they knew their relationship was going somewhere. The memory usually brought a nostalgic warmth, but the tension of the last few hours took even that little bit of happiness away.
How did you sleep?
Good, I guess. I don't remember much after I closed my eyes. She grabbed her matted hair and pulled it back over her shoulders.
I assume Joshua slept through the night. At least I don't remember him moving at all.
He was up to use the bathroom.
Did he wake you?
Not purposefully. He's as quiet as you are when he wanders around in the dark. She smirked, hoping to see Kim smile. Wide-eyed, she asked,
Are you angry with me?
Why would you ask that? Melissa reached across the small table that barely fit into the cramped room and grabbed her girlfriend's hand.
I feel bad.
Why?
For what you seen yesterday.
Don't think about that. Melissa shook her head quickly, as if it would help erase the words.
I know, but you shouldn't have to deal with that.
I don't feel like I have to do anything. This is just something we are going through right now. There was a quick glimpse of hope in Kim's stare. Like a switch being flipped, it instantly went away.
Mel, I don't know what to do next. I can't believe I agreed to bring...
Kim glanced toward the hallway with a guilty look.
Him here. I don't know what I was thinking.
You were being a good sister and a responsible person. There's nothing wrong with that. Melissa usually kept her past buried. Hiding from hurtful feelings was a binding force in their relationship. But now she chose to say,
Believe me, when your only connection to the adult world leaves you, it's very important to have someone look out for you.
I understand that, but what are we going to do? We can't raise him. The eager look for support reminded Melissa of first meeting Kim when she came to town. She arrived with little more than the clothes on her back. Thinking of a woman teaching life skills with hideous masks, she could understand Kim's taking the risk of starting a life with nothing, and her reluctance to ever speak of her upbringing. We have time to think about what's best for all of us. Right now, let's just focus on the next few days. I guess. Kim absently twirled a strand of her blonde hair, the gesture mirroring her brother's movements yesterday. You know, my ma wasn't completely insane. I never said she was. All that stuff with the mask really was her way of helping. She was raised in a community that was, well, different. The strands of hair made it into her mouth. Everything she did was with good intentions, and it ain't like she didn't care. After a long silence, she added, "It ain't possible to explain, but she's just different from others." Melissa felt uneasy as she heard the accent that Kim had fought so hard to hide come back. It was as if she was willingly regressing into someone else. Melissa felt an impulse to shake it out of her mouth, feeling like it would bring back the woman she loved and pull her from a path that was going to lead to sadness. The rawness of the emotion brought an unexpected bitterness. "I'm not judging you here, but you do know that if he's going to stay, he'll have to give up those dolls. They just aren't healthy." She didn't bother hiding her disgust. "I will talk to him about them." She didn't really want to know, but the words came out anyway. "When you were little, you used to punish them as well?" "Yes." She grabbed Melissa's hands with both of her own, squeezing them for emphasis. "Really, it isn't always as weird as it seemed yesterday. Ma used to read psychology books that she collected from library sales. Most were very outdated, but had some decent information. Like I said, she had odd ways, but her intentions were always good." "Were her intentions good when she taught him to be homophobic?" She immediately knew the answer when Kim looked down shamefully. "No, she wasn't perfect, Mel." The resentment she was bottling up became uncorked. "Did you sleep in there last night because you were ashamed to be with me when he's here?" She finally looked up, biting her lower lip so hard it was turning white. "No, not at all. I was just exhausted and fell asleep there." She desperately wanted to believe her, but it was difficult. "You know you can't hide who you are." Melissa's stomach turned as her own youthful struggles, which she had fought so hard to repress, bubbled up. She knew better than to antagonize Kim, but couldn't stop herself. All the stress was taking over. She folded her arms across her chest, staring deeply into Kim's eyes, urging compassion to stop the fight before it took off. "You don't have to say that to me. I know who I am." "We'll see, won't we?" The words were spoken so quietly that it was as if her lips were trying to protect her from saying something that couldn't be taken back. Before Kim had a chance to respond with more justifications, Joshua entered the room wearing the mother mask now. It was a collage of blue eyeshadow, red lips, and blush. The only human features were his dull eyes poking through the narrow slits. Not containing her anger, Melissa said, "Take that off now!" She barely kept herself from adding, "You little freak." Joshua continued staring, scratching at his chest in perfect circles as his eyes moved from left to right. Kim got up and put her arm around him. She whispered something, and he slowly removed the mask. As it cleared his face, he gave Melissa a smile. His lips curled back, exposing his crooked teeth. Having had enough of the shocking display, she wordlessly left the room. The tension from the last few hours was making it hard to think straight. As she closed the door to their bedroom, she heard the two of them giggling, each noise going through her. Every second that ticked by, Melissa felt like an out-of-control infection was making its way into her partner, permanently changing her. Walking to the bathroom, full of rage, she noticed her hairbrush lying on the counter in front of the sink. It was not where she had left it. As she examined the bristles, she realized that they were picked clean of any loose strands of hair. Instinctively, she looked at the wastebasket. It was empty, except for a few tissues at the bottom. Remembering the maxi pad she had placed there before her morning shower, she immediately thought Joshua had snuck in and was rummaging around the small bathroom. Suddenly, nothing seemed real anymore. It now felt like time had a different quality, altering her perception and sense of well-being. Every vein felt like it was beating to an intense rhythm, heating her skin. She clenched her fists and fought to focus her racing mind, attempting to find logic. Knowing she was too angry to be rational, she fought the instinct to accuse him of raiding through her waste. She was either confused or he was baiting her into a fight she wouldn't win. As she struggled to continue her morning routine, Melissa ignored the sense that her life was going in a direction she had no way of controlling. Over the next few days, the siblings grew closer, and Melissa spent most of her time alone in her bedroom like a passenger on a vessel she didn't want to be on. Kim entered their former room only now for changes of clothes. She spent her nights sleeping next to her brother. The dolls continuously found their way into different parts of the condo. Melissa was currently staring at the boy doll sitting on the kitchen chair they had found in a secondhand shop. The dining room furniture was the first thing they had bought when they got the condo. Seeing the abomination in the place she felt safest in the world was unsettling, straining her already taut nerves. They spent most of their time in this room. It was windowless and much too small, but it made them feel insulated from the city and all its energy. Remembering all the mornings they had spent there together drinking coffee and talking endlessly, having the doll there was more than she could handle. Her plan of giving her partner space and time to work everything out now seemed foolish, maybe even dangerous. Melissa called out, "Kim?" After half a minute, her girlfriend entered the kitchen. "Yeah?" Seeing Kim dressed only in a wrinkled t-shirt and her hair disheveled brought memories of hundreds of tender moments echoing in Melissa's mind. Longing to hug Kim tight and forget all that had happened, she eventually said, "I thought we talked about these dolls." "We did. I'm sorry that he left it out." She reached over and picked up the boy doll. The palms of both of her hands were an intense red. Thinking of Kim possibly administering punishment to the dolls, Melissa's eye twitched. Knowing any contact would weaken her resolve, she said, "I thought you were going to take them from him." "I will, Mel. I just feel like I have to do it the right way." "What does that mean?" Melissa looked her up and down. Not only was her accent stronger than ever, something else was different, but she couldn't easily distinguish what. "I don't want to do it too quickly."
"Why not?"
"I was reading about it in a book."
"You found a book that talks about handling punishment dolls?" With a bewildered look, Melissa tilted her head back, trying not to chastise her any further.
"Yes, Josh brought it from Ma's house."
The accent grew thicker with each syllable. Tension settled in Melissa's temples as her desperation built. It took effort to keep sarcasm out of her tone.
"And you think it's a good idea to follow what it says?"
Playfully, Kim shrugged like a shy schoolgirl, twisting her hips from left to right, both innocent and alluring at the same time.
"Not sure what else I can do."
Watching Kim act so vulnerable slowed her anger and caused confusion. The sense that they were growing further apart as every second ticked past was more than she could handle. Exasperated, Melissa moved tentatively to Kim, reaching for her. Kim's look quickly turned to one of repulsion as she turned, pushing Melissa's hand away. Melissa grunted.
"Really?" she said as her face warmed. "I just don't feel in the mood right now." "Well, when might you?"
She felt ashamed the second the mock words left her mouth.
"You shouldn't make fun of people because of the way they talk."
Her chin was buried into her neck as she gave a sly stare.
"It ain't polite."
"What's happening to you?" she bit off. "Why are you becoming a hillbilly?" The thought felt tangible, weighing her down as she realized how insensitive she was becoming.
"Nothing. How can you say that? You're turning back into the person you came to this city to escape. That's not who you want to be anymore."
She wanted to say, "Right?" but let it go, knowing the answer was far too dangerous. Her voice cracked as she added, "And you don't even want to touch me. There'll be a time for that. Right now, I'm still grieving." It was the first time Kim had sounded remotely like herself. Believing the lie because she needed it to cling to, Melissa said, "Hun, you promise that's all?"
"Of course. Things will get normal soon enough. We just need time to adjust all of this."
She hugged the doll to her chest with an absent-minded expression on her face. The worn fabric face was turned away from her, its monstrous, fixed smile glaring at Melissa.
"Sorry, but I gotta get back to Joshua now. I'm helping him with his math equations. He's missed far too much learning over the last few weeks. We can talk later after he gets to sleep, okay?"
She gently caressed the back of Melissa's hand with her fingertips.
"Okay."
As she watched her head down the dark hallway, the sense that she was losing Kim was strong enough to bring tears. An hour later, a large crate arrived by courier. Before Melissa could open it, Kim and her brother pulled what was shaped like a cheap coffin into their room, explaining that it was more of their mother's belongings. Later that night, Melissa heard what she believed was a sewing machine and an unfamiliar female voice coming from their room. She sporadically tapped on their door, and they would not answer. Melissa knew she could force her way into the room, but she was not up to any more confrontations. She went to bed, where she stared off into the darkness, listening to various whispers and the whir of the machine through the thin walls. In the brief moments when the machine's noise stopped, all she could hear was rhythmic slaps. Staring in the direction of the room, she tried her best to will sense into Kim and bring her back to the woman she was desperately in love with. Melissa knew that an ultimatum was warranted, but her insecurity at being with a woman years younger than herself stopped her. Thinking of all the loneliness and isolation that she had gone through before Kim, she wished that she had the strength to leave temporarily, if only to emphasize her point. As she slipped off to a restless sleep, she began questioning her own sanity.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Later that evening, Melissa awoke to someone massaging her back. Her mind prompted her to see a doll lying in the bed next to her, but relief spread when her eyes focused enough to recognize Kim. She wanted to say 100 things, but didn't want to spoil their first real moment alone together in so long. Kim caressed her shoulders lovingly, the light trace of her fingers sending chills down Melissa's spine. Slowly, Kim worked her way down to Melissa's breasts, instantly relieving all of Melissa's pent-up frustration with her touch. Their eager lips eventually found each other in the dark, probing each other wildly with passion. After a moment, Kim paused, brushing her tongue along Melissa's neck, and whispered, "Spank me." "What?" The thought equally repulsed Melissa and turned her on. Kim pulled off her jeans, revealing silk panties. She lay across Melissa's lap, writhing up and down.
"Do it hard."
Melissa, not fully understanding why, obeyed. The first slap was playful. Kim writhed, arching her back. Massaging her taut flesh, Melissa struck again with a little more force. Hearing her partner whine in pleasure, she slapped harder. Each subsequent strike grew louder, followed by a deep, satisfied moan. After a minute, her hand ached, but she didn't stop. She kept striking the same spot, relishing each time her fingertips came into contact with her partner's bare skin. Both panted as the rhythm increased, creating a symphony of moans. After each strike, Kim thrust upward every time Melissa's hand came free,
as if she couldn't stand being away from Melissa's touch. The anticipation of the shared pain and pleasure brought a delicious dizziness. Lost in the moment, she heard Kim's muffled voice call, "More! Harder!" Feeling more turned on than she ever had, Melissa, in her peripheral vision, saw the shiny buttons of the mother mask through the darkness. The painted lips of the fabric stretched as Kim called out,
"Don't stop now!"
Melissa, without thought, used both hands to push Kim off her lap in swift motion. Looking at her lover wearing lingerie and the dirty mask made her want to vomit.
"A mask? You're really sick, aren't you?"
The expressionless face glared back. Melissa slid back, getting caught up in the sheets and feeling immediate claustrophobic angst as she struggled to free her now frozen limbs.
"Get out, now!"
"Please don't be like that. I need you."
Kim stood up, pulling the mask from her head. Her hair was matted to her forehead and held there through her perspiration. She hid the mask behind her back as she leaned forward, trying for a kiss. Melissa, struggling to free her arms, shook her head.
"Not like this, no!"
She inched backward on the mattress. The sense of violation made her feel sick as she squirmed the few inches the tangled fabric would allow.
"I won't do this anymore!"
Tears streamed out, sensing that the love they had shared was now lost forever, overtaken with disgust.
"Don't you want me anymore?"
Kim asked, leaning strategically forward and emphasizing the curves of her body. Mel's torso was shaking as she clutched the sheet, fighting for freedom.
"Just leave, Kim, please, just leave!"
With a snort, Kim put her hand on her hip, thrusting as if she were posing for a dirty magazine. In a sultry voice, she leaned over, putting her mouth close to Melissa's ear, and said,
"I know you want it as much as I do."
She kissed her earlobe, slipping her hand between her girlfriend's legs before adding,
"Just let go and take what you want."
A jolt of energy surged through Melissa. No longer able to control the urge that was consuming every inch of her being, she pulled Kim onto the bed. With her arms wrapped around her, the coarse material of the mask brushed her fingertips, making her cringe. Ignoring all instincts except for one, she took Kim, giving into a passion that she knew she couldn't survive without. The following day, a drenching rain beat against the window, hiding the sun. Melissa wore a baggy sweater and sweatpants, wanting to hide her sexuality and the shame it had brought after the previous night. Before leaving her bedroom, she placed her ear against the door and slowly opened it to ensure safe passage. The spare room stood open. Wanting to leave, but knowing she couldn't abandon the only person who truly mattered behind without trying one more time, she walked to the open doorway. Lying on the bed, their involuntary dependent was asleep. Next to him was the life-sized doll. It lay with its arms around him, with the mother mask on, staring upward toward the ceiling. The sewing machine was in the center of the room, surrounded by hundreds of neatly folded, tiny clothes. The sound of dishes clanging wiped away the thoughts of satanic rituals and possession. Closing the door, she walked toward Kim. She was wearing a plain t-shirt and nothing else. Melissa kept her distance, staying on the opposite side of the table. "We need to talk."
"I knew you would say that. Don't you agree?"
"Before you say anything, let me get this out."
Kim turned, leaning against the counter and spreading both hands out.
"I'm sorry I've been ignoring you. I know how hard this must be, but I need you to understand how I've made a lot of progress with Joshua, and I think I can wean him completely from the dolls."
"Do you mean that?" Although it was a relief to hear the accent lessening, Melissa thought of the mask in the dark the previous night as taking a small step back. It was the first time in her memory that she'd felt ashamed when she was with her girlfriend.
"I can't guarantee anything, but yes, I mean it."
"After that, what's your plan?"
We have an aunt who lives downstate. I spoke with her the other day when you were at work. If Joshua doesn't object, I plan to drive him down once I think the time's right. Maybe we can talk him into staying with her, or at least alternating between here and there.
She paused, closing her eyes, looking as if she were summoning strength.
Look, I know you disagree with how I'm handling this, but I don't know what else to do. When I take the dolls away, he has fits and refuses to eat. That's why we're always in the room. He's afraid to be more than a few feet from the dolls, and I know how much you detest them. I'm sure you can hear him crying through the walls. That's why I've been indulging him, even though I know better.
Melissa's eyebrow arched as the accent crept back in.
I know how odd this is, but I'm not exactly an expert here at raising a mentally disturbed child.
It took restraint to not immediately try to talk her into leaving all this madness behind. Taking a deep breath, Melissa said,
I'm not trying to judge you and doing my best to be understanding here. But please, just stop alienating me. I can't take it anymore. I'm very sorry. I know I've been preoccupied.
Kim looked away, her bottom lip trembling.
I would use other terms rather than preoccupied to describe your recent behavior.
Melissa ran her hand through her hair, fighting to let go of the anger and frustration that was consuming her.
Also, don't ever try what you did last night again.
Kim raised an eyebrow in confusion.
What are you talking about, Mel?
Melissa knew Kim had to be embarrassed, but couldn't believe she would lie. It was not in her to tell even a tiny white lie. Melissa's hand began to throb as she thought of what they had done. Confused by the earnest look on her partner's face, she thought it best to let it go for now.
Forget it. What can I do to help?
Her lover's face was bunched, creating false wrinkles.
I wish I knew for sure. This is all so difficult.
She wiped her nose with her sleeve.
All I do know is that Joshua wants nothing to do with you because he thinks we're sinning. And now, with all that he's got through, I don't think it wise to try to force him to learn something he don't really understand and been taught to hate.
Hearing every word accentuated with such a strong accent made Melissa cringe.
I can appreciate that, I really can, but you know I won't hide who we are, not for anyone.
Even you. The thought brought an even deeper emptiness. Ignoring the comment, Kim continued.
Look, I was going to make dinner for the three of us tonight. I don't want to ask this, but I thought it would be a good first step if you're, willing to just act as friends in front of him.
There was a long silence as she contemplated her willingness and ability to fake her way through the evening. Melissa thought she could hear the sound of the sewing machine coming from the hallway again. Everything was moving too fast. Not knowing what else to do, she eventually said,
I might be willing to do that, as long as you promise we are working to tell him the truth very soon.
Her eyes lit up.
You sure?
Seeing some color in her girlfriend's face brought a tinge of hope.
Kim, I would do anything for you. If you think it'll help, I promise not to say anything that would make him uncomfortable. If you promise to be working towards stopping all of those behaviors.
Thank you.
Kim's chapped lips erupted into a warm smile.
This'll get easier real soon, I know it.
Melissa hesitantly walked across the kitchen toward her girlfriend. She said in an unconvincing voice,
It will.
Kim took a step forward and wrapped her arms around Melissa. She felt like an entirely different person, somehow less dense, and her typical sweet smell had been replaced with the smell of mothballs. Melissa tried not to let her mind run in a thousand directions and to just ignore the impulse deep inside her, warning her to run. The rain never let up. When Melissa returned after work, she made her way into the kitchen and the smell of pasta sauce. The garlic scent was so strong that she could almost taste the food. Joshua sat at the table. His hair was combed, and it was the first time Melissa could remember him looking almost clean. He gave her a dull stare, his eyes glazed over as if he were on something. With a forced smile, She sat down and looked to Kim, who was at the counter, wearing a flared skirt, tight blouse, and heels. Swallowing hard as she tried to work through all of this, Melissa said, "Looks like you've had a busy afternoon. It smells great in here." Kim turned, holding a salad bowl. Her face was covered in garish makeup. Her lipstick was thick and uneven, and her eyes were darkly lined with so much mascara that it looked almost cartoonish.
"Thank you. We've been cooking for hours."
It took effort not to scream out, "What's wrong with you?" Melissa slid her chair back until it bumped into the wall. Their calmness was striking every nerve. Adding to the sense of unease, Joshua lay something across her lap under the table. She knew it was a mask the moment her fingertips made contact. He gave her a knowing smile as he leaned back in his chair. Remembering Kim saying how close she thought she was to getting through to Joshua, Melissa meekly asked, "Are we going to be eating soon?" With a self-satisfied look, Kim asked,
"Sure are. Can you lead us in prayer?"
"What?" Joshua interrupted, his voice now in a high pitch.
"Aren't we going to wait until we're all here, Kimmy?"
"Kim, what does that mean?" Melissa twitched at the sweat running down her sides as she desperately tried to make eye contact with her partner. "Who else is coming?"
"Ignore that."
Kim's eyes darted to the hallway and then back to Melissa.
"If you don't mind, can you please begin the prayer so we can start? I know it's not something we used to doing, but it's a tradition in our family."
The ridiculous charade was making her skin crawl. Struggling to compose herself, Melissa looked at the odd child to her right. His tongue was hanging between his plump lips, making her want to slap him for all he had done to her and Kim's relationship. It was the first time in her adult life that she'd had an impulse toward violence of any kind. Kim sat, compulsively arranging her skirt.
"Can you please put the mask on first?"
Melissa looked at her girlfriend's smiling face as her heart skipped a beat, and then suddenly raced to make up for the interruption, sending adrenaline coursing through her. "Kim, I'm trying to be understanding here, but please, don't ask me to do that." Joshua looked at her and pleaded,
"Please, Auntie Melissa, just for the prayer. Then we won't have any more masks this evening, I promise. And besides, it'll make everything perfect for her arrival."
Melissa stared at Kim. Through her obscene makeup, she smiled encouragingly, subtly urging her on. Melissa thought about dashing out of the condo and never returning. The weight of the decision froze her. To buy a few seconds, Melissa reached beneath the table and grabbed the mask. The material was rough against her skin, reminding her of sandpaper rubbing against her flesh. Breathing was now like sucking through a narrow straw. As she gasped for clean air, black dots floated in front of her face. Frantically, her mind raced, coating her in sweat. She desperately wanted to believe that there was some reason just beyond her understanding that could explain all that was happening. There had to be a reason. Her Kim was far too precious to be acting this way for no reason. Just as she was making up her mind to bolt for the door, Joshua tugged at her sleeve and leaned closer. He smelled as if he hadn't bathed in some time.
"Put it on quick before Ma gets here, Auntie."
A slow, dragging sound came from the hallway. The noise was in competition with the thudding of Melissa's heart. She placed both hands on the table, wishing away the anxiety creeping through her, threatening her consciousness. As the noise grew, a shadow loomed across the floor. Glancing to her right, she saw the life-sized doll enter the kitchen. In its mittened hand, it held a girl doll with black hair. Moving in an awkward, jerky motion, it sat at the head of the table. Once settled, it turned its head deliberately toward Melissa. The shiny button eyes reflected the dim light of the kitchen. Wondering if she was possibly going insane, Melissa froze. Her blood felt like it was thickening and expanding in every vein. Her heart was beating so fast that she imagined it exploding. carrying her away from whatever madness she had walked into. Staring at the abomination that was now taking the chair to her right, Melissa silently wished the panic would make her black out. The last bit of logic she had left was urging her to brush past the doll and run for the front door. Knowing she wouldn't make it, there was less than a few inches between the doll and the wall, she shifted her chair back as far as she could, waiting for the opportunity to bolt.
"Mel, please put the mask on, or do you need Mama to help you?"
The thought of the hideous creature touching her was more than she could handle. Shaking, she yanked the father mask on. The tight material limited her sightline, nearly cutting out her peripheral vision entirely. She stared at the top of Kim's head, watching as she bowed and joined hands with her brother. With her right hand, Kim reached out and took the dolls. The mask was suffocating. She was sweating so profusely that the cloth was sticking to her face. Now that their new guest was fully seated, as Melissa was about to take the chance to run, the creature clamped down on her hand, the tufted fabric enveloping her fingers. The grip was like a steel clamp encased in cotton. To her right, Joshua grabbed her opposite hand and squeezed tight. His palm was moist as he clenched much too hard. Trying to listen over his giggling, she heard Kim begin a short prayer. The woman she loved more than anything looked like a stranger as she recited long-forgotten words through her heavily painted lips. As Kim finished, she raised her head, meeting Melissa's eyes inside the mask.
"Welcome to something greater than yourself."
Feeling the doll frantically tug at her hand, Melissa squeezed back as hard as she could. There was no resistance. Realizing that her suspicion was accurate, there was no one inside what she desperately needed to believe was only a costume, she fought the urge to relieve herself. As she squirmed away from both, what she now believed was their mother and Joshua, the mask tightened as it joined with her skin. The dirty cloth weaving into her flesh was like pins being driven deep into her nerve endings.
"Please, Kim, I love you so much. Whatever this is, help me."
Her flesh was opening, the pain shooting through her in waves. Knowing she was completely on her own, with an effort, she pulled away from Joshua and grasped frantically at the bottom of the mask with her free hand. The worn material wouldn't budge as it melded with her flesh. Panic heated her face as she desperately tugged at the tattered cloth. It was like trying to yank hair from her head. Each movement brought agonizing pain, reminding her of pulling a band-aid from a bleeding scab. Darkness enveloped her as the fabric began closing over her eyes, leaving only the tiny spaces of the buttonholes to stare through. When the mother doll pushed her chair away and tugged Melissa firmly onto her lap, Melissa writhed as she felt the doll's hand viciously strike her behind. Humming, Kim and Joshua came and stood on each side as the mother doll administered the punishment. Melissa's frantic screams were stifled by the rigid stitching of the cloth, the mouth closing over her lips as she began to understand her place in her new family.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You've been listening to Involuntary Dependent by Jason Fisher. Jason Fisher is a horror and crime author specializing in anthologies. When not writing, you can find Jason biking the trails around his home, playing with his nephews, adding to his VHS collection, or on the deck, feeding the deer and enjoying nature.
Well, friends, that wraps up our eerie evening, our disturbing dusk, our... the alliteration fails me, but the episode is over. I hope you enjoyed tonight's tale as much as I did. It legitimately creeped me the hell out, and that's something that gets harder to do as the years go on. My deepest thanks to Jason Fisher for getting a jolt in these jaded bones. And, of course, thanks to all of you folks for listening. As always, I'll be back with more Horror Hill next week. So until then, stay spooky. You've been listening to the Horror Hill Podcast, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Tonight's episode was hosted, narrated, scored, and finalized by yours truly, Eric Peabody. Additional music by Nikki McSorley. Got a terrifying tale of your own that you'd like performed? Email it to us at submissions@simplyscarypodcast.com to have your work considered for future production. Note that any writing utilizing artificial intelligence is ineligible. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, why not help us spread our dark presence online? You can follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on social media, and upvote, subscribe, and hit the bell notification icon if you're listening to this on YouTube. It helps us out a lot, and also keeps you up to date on new episodes. If you'd like access to uninterrupted horror, free of ads and these annoying bookend segments, might I recommend signing up to be a patron? You'll get access to hundreds of episodes of this show, as well as everything from the other programs in the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights cabal. That means all of Scary Stories Told in the Dark, Drew Blood's Dark Tales, and more. It's a veritable smorgasbord of horrific delights. Head to chillingtalesfordarknights.com to get started. If you're looking for someone to narrate or handle audio production for your own personal project, I just so happen to know a guy. Email me at ericpeabodyvoice@gmail.com. That's ericpeabodyvoice@gmail.com. And we can talk details. If darkness is what you're after, listener, your search is over. Yet, let it be known, you haven't found the darkness. The darkness has found you.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.